Thanks, Patrick. Well, thank you all for being here. I guess I'll start by saying, after being surprised by Brett on Tuesday about his decision to leave to take the head job at Arkansas, I was trying to formulate in my mind what I wanted to do as far as proceeding. My first concern was about the players and how to let them, the seniors, walk out of here with a positive experience in the Rose Bowl, and the staff, visited with the staff for a while. That evening, I started to Kirk Phillips texted me, wanted to contact and visit with me prior to naming an interim coach. Later that evening, I kept, you can imagine my phone was blowing up, but I kept getting a Green Bay call. I didn't think there was anybody in Green Bay that I needed to talk to, so I didn't take the call. Finally, in my voice messages, I went to the Green Bay call. It was Mike Taylor, and Mike asked me if said he and the captains and leaders of the team have discussed the fact that they would like me to coach them in the Rose Bowl. I told him I would be honored to coach them, and I wanted them to understand if I were going to coach, we weren't going to screw around. We were going to go out there to win. And at that point, then I called my wife, and she was thrilled to get me out of the house, I think. With that, I'd be glad to open it up with any questions. I'm very excited about coming back, and this will be a one-game I know that was your question, Andy. This will be one game. I'm not looking to do it any longer than one game.
Go ahead, Andy.
Barry, Brett's departure, do you feel in any way that you've been betrayed at all?
I know the business, Andy. I know the business. I know people move. I was surprised, totally caught by surprise, and surprised no one had contacted me for permission. There's some protocol in this. But, Brett has had some other offers and some other things he was interested in. So I don't feel betrayed. I think I'm pleased. I'm very proud of the job that Brett did for me. I thought he did a nice job taking the program, recruiting good kids. His one-loss record speaks for itself. The fact that we're going to our third straight Rose Bowl is off the charts. It's uncharted waters.
Jay?
When you were watching in the press box the last 7 years, did it ever, in the back of your mind, did you think, boy, it'd be kind of cool to get down there and coach again one more game?
Just in the big games, Jay. I always like to coach big games. When I stepped aside, I had no second regrets. Quite frankly, I'm contacted every year to see if I'm interested in going back to the field. And I really enjoy the job that I have. I like the people that I work with. I have an outstanding staff and a great group of coaches. So I've really never second-guessed that.
Let's go down here in front.
You have some recruits coming into town for official visits this week. Will you be handling those? And what is the message to athletes who are looking at Wisconsin as their option?
Yeah, that's a good question. We will have our recruiting weekend. Most of the kids coming in this weekend are commitments. I instructed the assistant coaches to put an emphasis on those commitments that we have. Make sure that we hold our commitments. I will be involved in the recruiting weekend. My message is this: you committed to come to the University of Wisconsin and play for us. We've got a great university. We've got a lot to sell here. Brett used my game plan to win. The coach that I will hire will be someone that will have to understand who we are, how we go about our business. I don't look to change a whole lot in how we operate things here. And the person that I'll put in place, it'll be someone that cares about kids and someone that understands Wisconsin, and it'll be a good fit for us.
Tom Mulhern.
Barry, would you have done this if the players didn't ask you, and what did it mean to you that they did turn to you?
it really didn't. As a matter of fact, Brett said, "I will do whatever you want me to do. You want me to coach the game, I'll coach the game." And I said, "No, Brett, you know, you need to go to Arkansas now. I want to make sure that the assistant coaches say." And he said, "Would you coach the game?" I said, "I wouldn't feel right doing that." So it didn't did not cross my mind. But when the players asked, it's about the players, and I don't want this to be about me. I want it to be about the players. I want to give them as good an opportunity and good a chance to win the Rose Bowl as we possibly can. This allows with the duties of a head coach at the Rose Bowl, there are a number of duties. It can be distracting. I thought it would be best to allow the assistant coaches to do their jobs and concentrate on game planning and coaching their players, not have to worry about one of them being an interim coach. So I think this is probably the best. I felt this was the best way to go about it and give the players the best opportunity.
Rob Vogel,
you mentioned that it's just a one game deal for you. Where are you then in the process in finding a full time head coach, and what's your timetable or hope for the best case scenario?
I'm not in a big rush. You know, I've reached out to some people. I've talked to some people. I will start interviewing and face-to-face some prospective coaches next week. But I will move through the process. But there's been a lot of interest shown in the position because it's a great job. It's on solid footing, new facilities, and a very good nucleus coming back. But there have been a lot of people that have contacted me with interest in it, and I always have a short list. You guys know that. I have a short list of coaches, and I've made contact with a couple of them, and I'll proceed in the interview process after this weekend. It's going to be too crazy this weekend, but I'll start next week.
Tom Oates?
Very well. All the assistants remain here through the Rose Bowl?
Yeah. You know what? I haven't talked to all of them, Tom. I think as I understand it, all of them have made a commitment to the players that they'll be here through the Rose Bowl. I've talked to most of them on the telephone. Some I haven't. I'll catch up to them today or tomorrow.
Let's go right here on the left.
You mentioned that you were sort of surprised that no one had contacted you about permission in interviewing Brett before he left. And you mentioned something about protocol. Is the protocol in college football changing, and is it getting more harsh, more aggressive, and how do you feel about that?
I don't know if there's any written protocol. I think it's courtesy more than anything else. Is it getting more aggressive? Absolutely. You normally now have a middleman in an agent, and also now you've also have your search groups that are involved. So there are a lot of different people that are involved before you even get to a coach. But normal protocol would be, if I'm going to call, before I talk to anyone, I will call their athletic directors.
Go ahead.
Barry, I believe you're the first Rose Bowl Hall of Famer to coach in a game. What is it going to be like for you, all the history you have there, to walk on that field, walk out of that tunnel, and lead a team?
That's easy. You know, I guess it was 4 years ago. This is my fourth trip out there. 4 years ago, I was inducted into the Hall of Fame. I've said it since the first time I coached that game in 81 when I was an assistant at Iowa. There's no venue prettier in all of sports than the Rose Bowl. I feel it's a special place. I love that the atmosphere. I love the week leading up to it. There isn't anything that I don't enjoy more. So with our last – this being our third appearance in the Hall of Fame, this is my fourth year in a row, and I love it. And it doesn't get a bit old to me. I'll enjoy every second of it.
Jeff Patrikas?
Barry, you mentioned Brett's decision to leave, and you understand that it's a business, but – when he told the players he was leaving, I guess he said part of it is, I want to win a championship, and he alluded to that in his press conference yesterday. And you know it's a business, but for a kid in that locker room, a player, do you understand how someone may have perceived that as, we just helped you win three championships, are we not good enough for you?
Yeah. I could see where that could be interpreted that way. I was a little surprised by that, and he said that to me. Well, I wish him well. I wish him well. I thought we were very close playing national championship game a year ago. You just won three Rose Bowl or been won three championships. So I don't know. I don't try to put words in his mouth, but I know where you're coming from.
Andy?
Barry, a two-part question. Could you go through the timeline when Brett first brought this to your attention and how that all played out? Second of all, is head coaching experience a prior? Is that a must for your next coach?
The timeline, as far as when he told me, Andy, I was at breakfast in New York Tuesday mid-morning, and when I came back to my room, there were a number of calls, and I was going through them, and Brett called and said he had to talk to me. So he came down to my room, sat down, and proceeded to tell me that, as we went through the conversation, I said, "No, you're not telling me you're going to visit with the Arkansas people. You've already taken the job." And the answer was yes. He left. I made contact with a representative of a coach that I was interested in and had him in my room 5 minutes after Brett left and started my process. And sent the second part of the question is head coaching experience. I will start with head coaches. I'm not going to say that I absolutely would not hire an assistant coach, but I will start my process of interviewing and contacting coaches with head coaches.
Let's go over here, Brian.
Barry, you said that you were going to allow the assistants to do their jobs. Will you coach the Rose Bowl like you coached the other Rose Bowls and the other games you coached at Wisconsin?
I'll manage the game, but I can't step in there. I will oversee both sides of the ball. I just met with both coordinators, told them I expect them to manage their end of the ball. I'll oversee practices. I'll oversee the game. I'll manage the game. I'll take that pressure off of them. I want that, but I expect them to game plan, and they've already started breaking down film. I'll go up and start taking a look at practice and the practice schedules and what we have and implement the things that I believe in. I think we had a pretty good routine that we did, and I want to make sure that we continue to do that because I think we can have an advantage.
Over here, Ben Wargle.
Barry, at the same time, how much has the game changed since you last coached? But how excited are you that this is a matchup that's kind of an old school matchup with two teams that are very similar?
Two teams playing football?
Yeah, exactly.
I think I'm glad we're playing it. I like playing teams like this because I have great respect for how Stanford plays. I think Jim Harbaugh brought a toughness there that remains. And I had a chance to watch them play a few times this year. I've said it several times. They have a system much like ours, and they're physical on both sides of the ball. They're disciplined. They're coached well. So it'll be a great challenge for us, but I think it's a good matchup. I think it's a great bowl matchup. The game hasn't changed.
Any further questions? Oh, Tom Lee, go ahead.
Bit right here, Barry, in front. Barry, Brett alluded to it yesterday in his press conference that, Wisconsin might not be in a spot to pay assistant coaches what they are in Arkansas or whatnot. How real of a problem is that, if there's any truth to that comment?
I think our pay scale for assistant coaches is more than competitive and fair. I as the athletic director, I have to make decisions. I know what people are making. And every time someone has a hint that they may take another job, it's not prudent to jump and throw a pile of money at them. We all see what the salaries are. I know what the salaries are. I get charts with them. We're more than competitive, and not only that, we have a great place. It's a wonderful university. It's a great place to live. We have new facilities coming. People want to work here. The quality of life here is top-notch. So we can get good assistance here. We have had good assistance here. We'll continue to have good assistance here, and we'll have stability here.
Rob?
Wonder with all that you had accomplished in your coaching career, when you said you were deliberating at first the decision before the players even came to you, how much thought did you give to what this could mean or do to your legacy, good or bad?
I don't worry about that. I really don't. I'm excited that the players asked me and want me to be a part of it. You know, when you coach, you coach. I mean, when you coach, there's always a chance you're going to win, a chance you're going to lose. I don't worry about how one game is going to affect, you know, anything that's been accomplished in the past. I don't worry about that.
Andy Baggett.
Barry, is the program, football program that you left in 05, is it better now than it was when you left it?
It's not worse. It's at least as good. You know, I don't want to compare them. I like our program. We have a lot of young kids in the program. I thought it was very good when I handed it over. I handed over a 12-win team, you know, a 10-win team that won 12. So it wasn't in bad shape when I turned it over to Brett. But it's in very good shape. You're going to the third straight BCS game. That speaks volumes. And you only lose about 8 or 9 seniors.
Barry, clearly what you did worked here. What Brett did perpetuated what, you know, and worked here. Have you given any thought to hiring a coach who maybe can expand on that in some way, recruiting or schematically or whatever?
You know what? I put a lot of thought into that. You know, you want to hire somebody that understands the culture here, understands Big Ten football. You always want to bring someone in that brings a little something more to the table, whether it be recruiting. I don't have any problem with our scheme. I don't perceive us as a spread them out, fast paced, no huddle, one back, five wides. I don't see us doing that because that's not the type of kid we can consistently recruit, and we have to remember that. You know what the plan is. It starts with those big palookas up front.
Let's go right down here again.
For all the success that Brett had statistically, numbers-wise, and the achievements for this program, he's still got a lot of criticism, even from the fan base. Do you think it'll be difficult for anyone to come into this program and be compared to the success that you had?
It's always easier to come in two after. You know what? We have great fans. And I think anybody in the country recognizes that. I think ESPN came out and said we have the best game day experience of all college football. In this business, you are going to be criticized. You know, football is a funny game. We're the only sport where, you know, both teams has 75 possessions. That's 150 snaps. Eliminate using timeouts, special teams. That's 100 and maybe 200 times a game that a fan can find criticism with a coach. There's no other sport like it. So you're going to be criticized. And if somebody screws up on the field, it always comes back to the head coach. There isn't a coach ever coached that isn't going to be criticized. And so that's just part of the game, and everybody has to understand that. But we have great fans, and I don't ever want to be critical of our fans.
But you don't think your legacy at all played a role in maybe the heightened expectations?
Well, I think not my legacy, but the success we had. You know, we had a very, you know, and I've preached this to our alums the last few years. Don't take things for granted. It's hard to win, you know, whether it be football or basketball. And I think over the last 15 years, we've been to more bowl games and more NC2A appearances than anyone in the country. But don't take that for granted. It is very hard to win, and there's a very fine line. It's a balancing act, and there are a lot of things that can topple that and blow up a program. So don't take for granted that we just keep winning, because it's hard to do. I think anybody that's competitive understands this is a good job. They're not going to worry about my legacy or what Brett left behind or anything else. They know this is a good job, and they can come in here and continue to win. Got new facilities coming. This is a pretty special place.
Let's go, Jesse Temple.
Barry, is it important at all when you're looking for your next coach to find somebody with ties to Wisconsin, whether it's a former assistant coach or a former player? Is that something in your
thought process? No, that's not. You know, that is not one of the criteria that I would use. I'd like for him to know about Wisconsin and know what we're about and how we win, and I'd be very interested in know their plan, how they're going to proceed in all areas, but to have a Wisconsin background is not necessary.
Let's go back here.
Yes, good morning. On the front page of today's paper, there is a discussion of the hiring process and the role, relative role of the activity board. Can you speak to the importance or of different aspects of the process, different players in the hiring process?
Yeah. We do have a process. I want to make one thing clear. When I hired Brett, I know there was a lot of criticism on campus. But when I agreed to take the athletic director's job, I asked John Wiley to put in writing that I name my successor. I was not some rogue that just went out and did something and went out and hired somebody without any. And I kept John Wiley abreast of what my thinking was, how I was proceeding, who I talked to. I did what I thought I was supposed to do in following the leader of our campus who gave me permission. I have a great relationship with our athletic board. We have talked about this and how we will proceed if, in fact, it's a job, a high-profile job, where the people that I'll be talking to would probably want this kept quiet. I mean, that's protocol. I wouldn't want to jeopardize their current job. I will keep the board in constant contact of what I'm doing. I'll have probably have one or two be involved with me as I interview I will keep the process and the procedure in order as we move through it, and they'll be alerted to exactly where we are and what's going on at all times.
Tom Mulhern.
Barry, you know how popular Paul Christ is around here, and his name's going to be out there until proven otherwise. Is he a viable option to be the next coach?
You know, I asked some very close friends of mine to help Paul get that job. And I think Paul's already come out and said that he's committed to Pitt, and I think he should be committed to Pitt. I wouldn't think it would be right for him to leave after 1 year. I wouldn't feel right, and I don't think it would be appropriate for me to hire him back after I asked someone to do me a favor and help him get that job. So, Paul is going to stay at Pitt.
Go back here.
Barry, has Pat Richter given you any advice?
I got a call I had a message from Pat that if I needed help, that he's available, and I will lean on Pat.
Andy Baggett.
Barry, it was characterized over the weekend that this Rose Bowl matchup, Stanford should expect to get a better matchup, that this is an embarrassment that a 5-loss team is in the Rose Bowl. Your thoughts?
I said a couple weeks ago publicly, I'm not apologizing for us to go to the Rose Bowl with 5 losses. I think that's a very misleading. It's misleading. But we all knew the rules. As a football coach, you just want to know the rules before you go in. What are the rules? If whoever wins the Big Ten championship goes to the Rose Bowl. Now, I didn't have anything to do with two teams being ineligible in our division. That allowed us to get to play in that championship game, and we soundly defeated the champion from the other, so we're going to the Rose Bowl. That was all laid out. You know, the fact there are schools that, you know, you can only put two in your conference in a BCS. Some of them probably have – Southeast Conference may have 4 that deserve to go, but only 2 can go. Those are the rules laid out beforehand. Most coaches don't complain about it. It's good for talk. I've been through that before where we were the worst team ever to be represented at the Rose Bowl. So I bring history with that, and I'm accustomed to answering those questions. And the best comeback was, I know there's at least one team worse than us.
We have time for a couple more questions here quick. I will also add that following this press conference, senior linebacker Mike Taylor will be available in the room adjacent to us. Also, senior quarterback Kurt Phillips is here, and he will be available following Mike Taylor. Go ahead.
Thanks, Patrick. Barry, you talked about all the selling points of this job and how attractive it is. When candidates talk to you, what do they say about this place and how attracted are they?
Most of them have coached here or seen it or heard about us, and they're all impressed. They're impressed with what they see, the fan base. They all have heard great things about the city and the university. It's a world-class university. And so that's why there's a lot of interest in the job, and there should be. And we've shown, you know, we're consistent winners.
Let's go, Rob Vogel.
I think you mentioned that what you told the captains in response about going there to win it. Have you addressed the whole team? And if not, what's your message to them?
I have, you know what, the message is that it's business as usual. You know, change, no one likes change, but you can grow through change, and there's opportunity through change, and we'll take this opportunity. But they'll be coached hard. They'll be prepared well. I want them to have an experience. I want the seniors to go out the right way, and I want the young players to understand that I will put a coach in place that that they'll be pleased with.
We'll take two more questions. Andy Baggett.
Barry, every team that you've had is different. Every team that Brett has had is different. This team seems to be unique in the sense that the turmoil it's gone through, whether it was Monte at the start of the year to the sense of perhaps abandonment right now. Could you speak to that, the uniqueness of this team and your need to kind of take the reins here?
Yeah, you know, I've been impressed all year with how resilient they are. You know, to go through a coach being dismissed in our key position, go through three quarterbacks, to lose five very close games, three in overtime. But never, you know, it was never a peak and valley team. There was never play great, lose, and that game cost you the next game. They always bounced back and responded. And I thought got better as the year went on, particularly in the offensive line. That says a lot about your chemistry. That says a lot about your leadership and your character. And that's why I really felt it was important. If they wanted me to do this, I want them to have a great experience. We owe it to our kids. You know, I say this all the time. Many times we forget, you know, it's about salaries. It's about this. It's about the bowl game. It's about everything but the kids. We're all here for one reason. It's about the players that we're coaching. So I want to make sure they have a good experience.
Okay, now we'll take two more. We'll go over here and then finish with Jeff Patricus.
Barry, over here. You mentioned search committees before. Will you use one of those, and would there be any kind of limit on paying a buyout for a coach? Because most coaches have those in their contracts these days.
I won't use a search committee. Most search committees use me. I get calls from coaches to call other athletic directors. I get athletic directors call me about coaches. I get search firms calling me. So I won't pay a search firm. I think that's what they pay me for.
Jeff Patricus?
The buyout. Obviously, you have to take a look at the contract. You know, Brett's buyout was $1 million. You know, that will be something we'll take a look at. We haven't really discussed, you know, how much of a buyout we'd be willing to absorb.
Last one over here.
Off the topic a little bit, Barry. One of the guys on the current team, Monty Ball, is up for the Doak Walker Award tonight. You know good running backs. Do you think he's worthy of that award? And can you just address what he's gone through from the day he got here to where he is today as a running back?
You know, I think of Monty. I see how I think of how he transformed his body from the time he got here. From coming from a third teamer at Iowa a few years ago and winning the game, being ready and being prepared in the fourth quarter to perform and win that game on the road, to see him come back, have the year that he had last year, all the issues that he had early on. And I could see how frustrated you could get early in the year when you get the ball. You got the best back in America and you hand, you know, and it's third and one and you're holding your breath. You know, or you run a power play and you see no seam. There's no place to go. I could see how he got frustrated, but never once did I ever see a negative. You know, see him say anything negative, have bad body language. He just kept plugging along, and ended up having the year that we all expected. But that all went along with the offensive line getting better. But I'm very proud of how he's handled himself and how he never got frustrated and continued to work and. I'm pleased that he's being honored and other people recognize it.